Now this walk starts once again at the Holland Park Underground. So as you come up in the lift and go straight out through the barriers, it brings you out into Holland Park Avenue. Bear in mind that this underground station is on Zone 2, so if you only have a Zone 1 ticket, or travel card, or Oyster card, then you may want to get out at Notting Hill Gate, the stop before Holland Park on the Central Line, and then walk down the hill towards the west, and you'll find Holland Park Underground on your right-hand side. As you can hear, this is a very busy road, and we're turning right and we're walking along by the shops. And if you want to have some refreshments before you start, then we have a Starbucks on the right-hand side. And a bit later on, again on the right-hand side, a Tesco Express, which will sell sandwiches and drinks and snacks. Now, the first shop we're going to look for is a local institution in this part of town, which is called Lydgate's. Now, Lydgate's is a very well-known organic butcher, and it's been around in this part of the town for a very long time indeed. The shops down here change. Jeroboam's, which you probably see on the right hand side, sells cheese and wine. To cross over Clarendon Road by the Castle Public House, then you'll find Lydgate's just further down on the right hand side. You may like to just pause your MP3 player and have a look in the window at Lydgate's. Interestingly, you'll find that, as used to be the case, the money is taken by a separate place to where you actually purchase the meat. It's a nice bookshop on the right hand side. It only opened in December 2005. Called Daunt Books, and in this day of Amazon, online suppliers and large public bookshops like Waterstones, then it's nice to have at least one independent small chain with an eclectic mix of books. And that's just on the right hand side. Now we're taking the right hand turn here called Princedale Road. You're probably wise to cross over and then turn right, and you should find yourself going past one of the old telephone boxes. There are very few of these left now, the red ones. They're not very good for disabled access. You've got to pull very hard, and they were difficult to keep clean. They were left in certain places, generally places where tourists go, but this particular one, I don't quite know why it survived here. I'm sure there's a good reason for it. And now we're walking up Princedale Road. And as we go up here, we're looking for a left turn called Queensdale Road. You'll see an old mews on the left-hand side called Norland Place. That would have originally been, of course, where the servants lived and the horses. Another one, Prince's Yard, but generally these are rows of stucco fronted houses. An overview as we walk up here of Notting Hill. Now Notting Hill is quite an interesting and eclectic area. Like much of this part of town, it was developed in the mid 19th century. There are interesting shops. There's the famous Portobello Road Market, although really it's more than one, but I'll explain that as we come to it later on. It's partly bric-a-brac and antiques, and it's partly a market for the locals. right-hand side now, you should see the Prince of Wales pub, and this is where we turn left into Queensdale Road. 52 Princedale Road, a bit further on, as a matter of interest, was where the Oz magazine, that's OZ, the Oz magazine, the notorious underground magazine, and I don't mean underground as in the tube, but that was founded, and it ran from those premises from 1967 to 1973. Now this is a nice wide road, as you can see. Little shops still surviving, and the road goes straight from Queensdale Road into Norland Square. As we come to Norland Square, I'll tell you a bit about this particular area. Norland Square was originally the location of Norland House. It was a 50-acre estate, quite a small house, and it was owned by the royal clockmaker Benjamin Vulliamy. That's V-U-L-L-I-A-M-Y. Benjamin Vulliamy. He was father of architect Louis Vulliamy, and we'll come on to him again in a moment. But I've put on the show notes some details of some of the clocks that he made and a photograph of one of them. And it says it's a rare white marble and Derby biscuit porcelain clock. It's an astronomy clock, so one of the figures on it, on the right hand side, you will see holds an armillary sphere. If you've taken my Holland Park walk, you'll know that there was an armillary sphere in the gardens of Holland House. The stepped semi-elliptical plinth supporting a central fluted pedestal mounted with a circular enamel dial says on it, designed by Benjamin Vulliamy, London, 1785, clock and watchmaker to His Majesty. Now we're continuing along the road, and we're looking shortly for a right-hand turn. Quite a stylish street, this one. And this is called Addison Avenue. You may find lots of schools walking around here. It's an area for quite smart primary schools. You'll often find the children being led around here by their teachers. So cross this wide road and turn right. So we're now in Addison Avenue. This road is again another wide road. The width of the roads is characteristic of Notting Hill compared to Kensington, where the roads tend to be narrower. And up ahead you will see the imposing church of St. James, St. James Norland. This is a group parish with St. Clement Notting Dale. This church is the church where currently the area dean is the vicar. His name is Hugh Raymond Pickard. Recently he's written an interesting book about Christianity and Philip Pullman, the author of his Dark Materials, a three-volume book for children, which has very anti-Christian sentiments, although I think can easily be read rather like Harry Potter, as just a fantasy thriller. Now we're standing facing St. James's Church, and we just cross over the road towards the church, and just on the right hand side you'll see a description of the church. It's built, it says, between 1847 and 1851 to the design of John Barnett, except for numbers 25 to 41 on the north side of the square, which was due to a shortage of funds, were not built until the mid-1860s. So, interesting thing about this is how speculative the Victorian development was. The Church of St James, Norlands was built 1844 to 1845 to the design of Louis Valiami. And there you are, that's the son of the clockmaker. And but for the shortage of funds, it would have had a spire. No spire, but a rather squat tower. And the church wasn't finished because of shortage of funds until 15 years later. Normally the church isn't open, but you may be lucky and find it open and have a quick look in there. It's a brick-built church. It hasn't got any particular startling characteristics which would make it worth coming back, so turn right in front of the church and start to walk around Norland Square. Let's walk around here. Just note on the right hand side the semicircular windows and the size of some of these houses, much bigger than you would normally see. In fact, we're not in Norland Square, we're in St James's Gardens. Hope you noticed that deliberate mistake. Carry on round the square, turning left and up the side of the gardens. And ahead of you, you can see Penzance Place. That's where we're going to turn right, continue on our way towards the Portobello area of Notting Hill. So we're now turning right into Penzance Place and continuing along here, and you'll find as we come along here that the roads do get progressively narrower, and I'll explain why that is in a moment. On the right hand side you've got some large brick built apartment blocks. The left hand side a converted church, and then the more modern building on the left is St Clement and St James Church of England Primary School. One of the best primary schools in this area. Like so many good primary schools, it's owned by the Church of England. And this one is named after both of the churches, St Clement Nottingdale and St James Norland. And we're now coming up towards fairly complex junction, and if you just stand at this point and take your bearings, I'll describe the roads that you're actually seeing as we stand on the corner. So to the right and to the left we have Princedale Road, and we're going to turn left up there, but straight ahead note that Penzance Place continues, and then there's a road going down to the right, and further on another road going down to the right as the Penzance Place sort of curves around towards the north. So we're turning left now up Penzance Place, up Princedale Road, I'm sorry. And you'll see as we come up here that the houses are now much smaller, much closer together, pretty much going straight onto the road, opening straight onto the road without any sort of front space whatsoever. So we continue walking up Penzance, Penzance Place. Just here on the left hand side in Princedale Road, the children playing at the back of the primary school. And a rather derelict closed pub called Bar 116 on the right hand side. Now, parallel to this road is Pottery Lane. And this gives you a clue as to the activities in this area a long time ago. We're now at the junction of Pottery Lane and Princedale Road and Walmer Road. We're going straight on. So go through the cycleway, which prevents traffic going from one part of this to the other. But as you do that, just note on the right hand side, the Church of St. Francis of Assisi. It's a Catholic church, Roman Catholic church in Notting Hill. Well worth going in to have a look, because it's built not parallel to the road and just built any way it can to make best use of the space. And if you have a look over towards it, you'll see one part with a cross on the top backs onto Pottery Lane, but the other part on the left hand side with another cross is almost offset. And so what they've done in building that church is to just use all the space available, and the rest of the site is meeting rooms, a small dining room and cafe. So if you want to have some refreshment, you find the cafe open, then by all means go in there. But we're going to walk straight up Walmer Road for a little, and I'll tell you a bit about this area in the 1970s. This area was an area of great squalor. The potteries and the piggeries occupied here, and the houses were notorious slums. And to your great surprise, if you now look over to the right-hand side and maybe cross for a closer look, you will find a pottery kiln which still remains. And there's a blue plaque on it which says this kiln is a reminder of the 19th century when potteries and brick fields were established here amid some of the poorest housing conditions in London. It is one of the few examples of a bottle kiln left in London. The name of the muse behind is the only surviving evidence of the Hippodrome racecourse, which stretched around Notting Hill in the mid-19th century. We'll go and have a look at where the Hippodrome racecourse was in a moment. Just for the moment, you turn off your MP3 player and just have a look at this area, particularly noting Avondale Park, which is right behind you. Now, as I said, this area was an area of brick fields, low-lying. The pits with slurry in from the pigs stank. And Avondale Park itself was built on clay land, opened in 1892, on the site of the vast pit of stinking slurry known as the Ocean. Very different now. So now we turn back, walking back towards the Catholic Church of St. Francis of Assisi and where we came through from Princedale Road. And in a moment we're going to take a left, and you start to see in Notting Hill how varied it is. Every single area, every few paces, is different from what you saw before. And as you come towards the church, instead of going straight on where we came up or going down Pottery Lane, take a left up Hippodrome Place. And up ahead you can see just a little group of shops. And again, I would advise that as you walk through Notting Hill, it's well worth stopping every now and then and just having a look at the shops. Because where so many rows of shops and high streets are just the same brands and the same chains, Notting Hill is different in that there are so many small shops which either are small groups or are individual shops. If we stop on the corner of Clarendon Cross, you've got Portland Road running to your left. Looking down to the right, looks back towards the Underground Station. And here you've got a little area, pedestrianised area, with restaurants, cafes and shops run by mainly decorators. Some very interesting eclectic clothes shops and accessory shops. There's one behind me called The Cross. Straight ahead is Fired Earth, which is part of a chain of bathroom and tiles shops, sells paint and fabric and wooden floors. And then we're now going straight ahead up Clarendon Cross. On the right you see a china shop, and back on the right hand side you see Julie's Bar, various shops. So you might find it worth pausing at this point and then just having a look around. One of the things to look at is a fascinating shop which sells just icons. It's called Temple Gallery. And in the window, obviously, it varies all the time, but these are Russian, Greek icons. These are genuine, so you won't see any prices on them. Some are quite affordable, some are extremely expensive, but again, a fascinating shop to have a look at. So when you've had a look at this area, continue on up Clarendon Cross. You'll go past a number of designer shops selling fashion accessories, bits and pieces, bric-a-brac, pottery and so on. And we're now going up towards what was the Hippodrome racecourse. At the end of Clarendon Cross, you will see a large road going left and right. And if you turn left and then immediately right, almost straight ahead of you, in fact, we're now going up Lansdowne Rise. Now, I'm going to ask you to just turn off your MP3 player just for the moment as you walk up the hill, and then turn it on again as you get to the top of the hill where you're going to be turning to the right. And you'll turn to the right where you see the large church of St John the Evangelist. Now you should now be at the top of the hill. You're at the junction of Lansdowne Rise and a road which goes curving around to the left and the right. And on the right hand side you can see the church of St John the Evangelist. At this point you're going to turn right and walk towards the church. Now you will have noticed as you came up the hill, to the right and to the left you passed some gardens and gates giving access to the gardens. And there are 13 such gardens in Notting Hill. Notting Hill looks and is very different to Kensington in that Kensington has large parks, whereas Notting Hill has communal gardens. Gardens which are accessed only by local residents, for which they pay a subscription to get a key. Some of the gardens, of course, are quite large, and as you saw from the two you passed by, those were quite large gardens which filled in the gap, quite a large gap, between the houses of one road and the houses of another. Houses will have their own gardens, but they'll be relatively small, and then they'll have rear access towards the gardens. And if you stop when you come to the church on your right hand side, that's the church of St John Notting Hill, church of St John the Evangelist. And the church is open most of the day, so you will be able to go in there and have a look. The church was built in 1845. It's a Grade 2 listed building, and it's built in the early English style, very similar to the design of the Church of St Mary's at Whitney in Oxfordshire. And the vicarage of the church used to be number 3 Ladbroke Grove on the left hand side, a very large building. In fact, it's actually set in Lansdowne Crescent. It's got number 2 on it. Now it's no longer the vicarage. The vicar actually lives further down in Ladbroke Road. The details of the church you can find on the church website, which is www.stjohnsnottinghill.com, all one word. That was a website I designed for the church, stjohnsnottinghill.com. I'll put the links on the show notes so you needn't remember them and you can refer to them afterwards. The area around this was, as I've previously said, the Hippodrome racecourse. And the Hippodrome was a racecourse which was opened in 1837, only lasted 4 years. For reasons which are not entirely clear, there could have been the fact that because the area was so wet, that the jockeys found it too dangerous to ride horses around the Hippodrome. Or it may be that the enterprise just failed through lack of money. But anyway, it was known to be a dangerous racecourse, and the site of the church was in fact the grandstand. If you look at a map of Notting Hill, you'll see that we're in the centre of circular roads which radiate around this area, concentric circles. So that gives you the line of the racecourse. However, when it closed 4 years after it opened in 1837, that was when they started to build the church. And you have to remember that with the development of this area, the church would have been one of the first things to be built, rather like you would today build a shopping centre or any other public amenity. In those days, the church would have been the centrepiece of the estate. The architect of this church was John Hargreaves Evans, who lived from 1805 to 1857, and George Alexander from 1810 to 1885. And if you look to the left of the door to the church, where there is a notice board with church services, you can see the Undercroft. This is an interesting development which was opened in 1995. An imaginative use of space under the church. They had to pump a large amount of concrete into the church to support it, but managed to let light into what was previously the Undercroft and turned it into an area with meeting rooms, a children's playgroup, a school which meets there every morning, a kitchen, toilets and other facilities. And as you walk around the church, you'll see how they actually managed to get light into the undercroft of the church. As I said, more details are on the church website and on the notice boards. Now we're walking now past the church on our right hand side, and we're going to leave Lansdowne Crescent and cross over the main road of Ladbroke Grove at the pedestrian crossing. Remember, at this point it's a very busy road, so look right, and then in the middle of the road look left, and we're now going to turn right on the pavement and immediately left into Kensington Park Gardens. So this is a long road, and I'm going to ask you to pause your MP3 player and turn it on again when you come to the end of this road at the juncture with another large road, which is Kensington Park Gardens. Now, you're now at a junction of a large and busy road, and this is Kensington Park Road. If you want to shorten the walk at this point, you can turn right, and that will take you back to Notting Hill Gate. In the distance, you'll see two tall blocks of buildings, and just beyond the left-hand side one, that is Notting Hill Gate Underground Station. However, have a look to the left-hand side and you'll see an orangey buff-coloured building just on the other side of the road, which is St Peter's Church. Now this is often open as well, and you can go down and have a look in on the right-hand side. You'll see the Grecian pillars on the front, and you'd be surprised inside that what looks like a fairly Anglo-Catholic church is in fact now occupied by an evangelical church of St Peter, and is in the group ministry with St John's. Those two churches have their own vicars, but are very different in character, St John's being Anglo-Catholic and St Peter's being evangelical. This is also the bus route for the 52 bus, which will take you back to Victoria Station via Harrods, Kensington High Street, Knightsbridge, Hyde Park Corner and down to Victoria Station. But we're going straight on, straight over, so be careful as you cross. Remember to look right and then look left and straight on, and the road you're now in is Chepstow Villas. We're now walking down Chepstow Villas, and we're going to be turning left, the first turning. And this takes us immediately into Portobello Market. But it's worth remembering, if you're Hungarian, that on the right-hand side, number 39 has a blue plaque. It's Louis Kossuth. I don't know how that's pronounced. Louis Kossuth. But he apparently was a Hungarian nationalist who took refuge in this area and lived in that house following the failure of the revolution in 1848 to 1849 against the Austrian. Doesn't say much about him. It just says Hungarian patriot on the plaque. But that's in fact who he was. So we're turning left now, and this takes you into Portobello Road. Now, I'm going to ask you in a moment to turn off your MP3 player and then turn it on again a bit later on. But as you walk up here, it's worth noting that the southern area of Portobello Road is in fact the antiques market, bric-a-brac, and fairly affordable items. So this is an area where you can just pop in and out of the shops and turn on the MP3er again when you start to get towards the fruit and vegetables market with street stalls. You go down the hill, you'll cross a road with some pedestrian crossing, and then continue, and then you'll be quite certain when you've got to the fruit and vegetable market, because the character of Portobello Road will change completely. So in the southern part, the antiques market started around 1848, and the northern part is the street market. And when you get to the street market, you'll recognise immediately the site of the filming of the film of Notting Hill, starring Julia Roberts and Hugh Grant. When we come to that point, I'll point out one or two scenes from the film, which you'll be able to look at when you get to that point. So turn left at this point, carry on down, enjoy the antiques market, and turn the MP3 player on again when you come to the stalls in the road selling fruit and vegetables. Now, just to check you're in the right place, where the fruit and vegetable market starts is in fact the junction between Portobello Road and Elgin Crescent to your left and Colville Terrace to your right. And it's worth stopping at this point and having a look at the shops around, particularly if we turn left, and immediately on the left-hand side, you'll see the famous Mr. Christian's delicatessen and wine shop. If you're coming up here at a weekend, you'll find that that shop spills out onto the pavement. Very interesting breads and cheeses and wines. And from here on, most of the shopping is done by locals. So we now continue up Portobello Road, and I'll describe one or two things that we'll see on the way up here. Hopefully you can hear the sights and sounds of the market as we go by. But I want you to have a look on the left-hand side, first of all. And this is the Electric Cinema. And the Electric Cinema is still operating as a cinema now, although it's been threatened at various times. It says it's a unique space which lends itself to a range of opportunities for private hire. But it's best known as a cinema, shows fairly eclectic films. Well worth having a look at its website, electriccinema.co.uk, where you can see up-to-date information of films being shown there. And as you can see, both to the left and the right, as we're walking north, there are various different shops, all of them interesting, all worth looking at. But I want, first of all, you to stop at the junction of Blenheim Crescent. And over on the other side, towards the left, is a door which has 199 on it. That door was, in fact, the blue door that Hugh Grant and Julia Roberts went in and out of. The house itself was owned by the director of the film, Notting Hill. And that's why he used that house, because it was his own. And that's why he sold it for rather more than he might otherwise have expected to when the film ended. Now we continue up Portobello Road, past the Salvation Army on the left-hand side. And notice how different the character is of the road compared to the southern end with its antique shops, its bric-a-brac, and various items for tourists. So this is very much a local area. Probably hear again accents from all over the world as we pass by. On the left hand side, another pub called the Castle. Now we're crossing Westbourne Park Road, and the shops tend to spill up to the right and to the left, but we're going to continue up Portobello Road. Fruit and vegetable. There's a fish market here, fish shop. Meat, electrical goods, more fruit and vegetable. Really nice and really fresh. Certainly well worth coming up here rather than buy your fruit and veg at the supermarket. And now we go into an area which is more clothes and less fruit and vegetable. Yeah.
start stopping and doing a bit of shopping now. We are open, look. Which side can I help you?
What are you going to know with that? We've got four of that.
Now we're crossing Lancaster Road. Beyond here, the market slowly comes to an end. This is getting really alternative, I think, up here. Looking very much like the 1960s still. With clothes, t-shirts. And up ahead of you, past various food shops and groceries. Is the rather unpleasant looking West Way, which is the road which we're just about to go underneath. Now, toilet facilities are here. If you want to make use of them, we're coming towards the Goulbourne Road area, so we're now going to go underneath two bridges, one with the underground and one with West Way. West Way was completed in 1970, and that is the road which leads out to the M40, the road to Oxford. So we're now going underneath West Way. More stalls under here. Underneath West Way, you'll see on the left-hand side a tented area with lots of clothes shops. If you're coming up here during the week, this is quite busy. If you're coming up here at the weekend, on Saturday, very busy indeed. And now, suddenly, as we come out underneath West Way, you can just hear an underground train going by above me. Carry straight on. Again, there are lots of stalls to the left and to the right. We're now in an area which is more, still alternative, but more sort of furniture, beds, clothes, records, CDs, antique clothing, and still stalls in the road. And we're coming towards the end of what is really the Portobello Market. The art shop. A shop selling Spanish foods, wines and beers. And another wine shop. At this point, we're in Raddington Road. And we're going to turn to the right. As you can see, as we walk along this road, again, we're very much back into residential area, but a very different kind of residential area from the ones that we've seen so far. On the left is a pub which has been converted into offices, it looks like. Pubs, you can always tell, are on corners. And as we come to Blaygrove Road, then we're going to turn right, go back towards West Way. So an area of much more public housing and poorer housing than elsewhere in Notting Hill, seeing the comparison, particularly of the houses near the West Way itself, which is noisy day and night. As we come to West Way, we're going to turn left and walk along underneath West Way itself. at this point, I want you to pause your MP3 player and turn it on again when you get to the end of this road. Now, at the end of this road, you should see, straight ahead of you on the left, the mosque and the Muslim Cultural Centre. Really very friendly place. If you're there on a Friday, do go in. I went in there myself and sat at the back just to see what the prayers were like, and was given a guided tour after prayers. Quite amazing facilities in there, library, teaching rooms, all sorts of interesting facilities. And then the imam asked me to his office afterwards, and then I was served mint tea and figs. So it's a very interesting looking building. You see the quotations from the Quran, I assume, in red tiling picked out around the top. So I've just brought you down here, firstly, so you can see what Notting Hill is like. This would be an area which many tourists will not see, but also to show you the mosque. And as you stand underneath West Way and look over to your left, you'll see a huge tower called Trellick Tower, a very controversial 1960s building. Most of those buildings will by now have been demolished or in a process of demolition. But this one, the Trellick Tower, is likely to be preserved, I think. Very well known in this area, not particularly attractive, but listed as a classic building of its kind. So at this point we're going to turn round and go backwards very slightly up the road we came down, and then you'll see in front of you the entrance to Aklam Road. But before you come to that, and before the skate park that you passed by, we're going to turn left over a pedestrian and cycle bridge. So we're now going under West Way. To the right hand side you can see the skate park. And to the left you can see the underground station. We're now going over the underground line. Becoming a bit more rare to see graffiti in London. A lot of effort has been taken in the past few years to ensure that all public services are anti-graffiti. You'll see quite an amount of graffiti on that particular bridge, which has not yet been cleaned off. The bridge hasn't been protected against graffiti. So now we're coming down to the junction of Tavistock Crescent. And an old pub which is now called the Mother Black Cap on the right hand side. It takes you back to London in the 1960s. Come and create your own scene from the cult favourite Withnail and I. If you now turn to the left, you will come to the underground station. We're now walking past more public housing on the left-hand side, and a colourful children's playground on the right-hand side. Now the underground that we're looking for, where the walk will finish, is Westbourne Park. So we continue walking along here. Fairly modern, the buildings on the left and the right, actually owned by the Tavistock Housing Cooperative. You can see this is quite a large area of infill housing, which would have been built from the period of 1960s onwards. Little church on the left hand side. St Andrew's House. The original foundation of that, I think, was Franciscan. I'm coming to Tavistock Crescent. Crossing over towards Tavistock Road and the Metropolitan Pub on our left hand side. And then we're going to take a left when we get to the main road, past the Metropolitan Pub. And now we're coming back to Westbourne Park Underground, where this walk will finish. Now you can of course retrace your steps back towards Notting Hill Gate if you wish by going down the road to the right, but if you turn left you'll come to Westbourne Park. This is on the Hammersmith and City line. It's just two stops beyond Paddington, so if you're going back into London you would have to take the train to Baker Street and change, or Edgware Road and change. And this is where the walk ends. Really hope you've enjoyed it. As I said, all the notes, or the show notes, or the links I've mentioned, and some photographs are on the website walksinlondon.blogspot.com.